This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
This morning, I have the honor of handing over to Esther Venter. So Esther has been part of our congregation. Sure. I haven't known church without her since I've been part of Shofar. She is, we share a very dear friend. And this friend of mine that now lives in the Netherlands tells me she doesn't know someone that lives such a surrendered life to Jesus. She says, you can go to Esther and you can tell her as honestly and as brutally the truth, and she will go to Jesus, and she'll go hear from him, and her heart to hear from God and not be thrown by those around her is something that speaks to me. Her single, her focus on Jesus and her love for the body of Christ. So Esther, we receive you as a blessing this morning. May the Lord bless you as you serve.
Thank you, Melanie. Melissa. Melissa, is this your papieren? Sorry. I promise I know Melissa better than that. Melanie. Is Melanie here this morning? Not. Okay, so she might be streaming in. I want to start right away. I will pray now. I just want us to start right away in the scripture. Those of you who still come to church with Bibles, well done. Please open it at James, John 6. Those of you who don't, please try to do so, but you can also follow there. Let's just read it together. John 6, 53 to 69. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats of my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand this? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, who did not believe, and who would betray him. And he said, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together today. Thank you, Lord, that there's many of us today, more than there were last week. And we celebrate the fact that we can come together as Christians, that we can worship together, that we can minister to each other, Lord, because we know that Christ is in us. Thank you, Lord, for our children's church. Thank you for mommies and daddies and babies, Lord God. It's such a celebration, Lord God, of who you are. Community and love, Lord God, and unity. And today we pray, Father, that you will, each of us, Lord, have a different road and we have our relationship with you looks a little bit different. But I pray, Holy Spirit, that today that you will speak to each one of us. And that we will afterwards, Lord, be able to have you in our conversations and minister to one another. And celebrate the fact that you are still in control. And that you are not, you don't regard men, Lord God. You do what you want to do. And we get to follow you if we choose to do so. Amen. The scripture, I'm not going to stay on it very long because it is a hard scripture. let's just go back a little bit. Context is always important. We know that when Jesus was on the earth, that Israel was under Roman control. And it was really an empire, a Roman empire. And the reason Rome managed to have such a great big empire and have so many building projects, they built temples and roads. I mean, Rome gave the world a lot of things. They had great armies. We read so much about Roman history. But the main reason was the Caesars, they took taxes, a lot of it. Everybody subjected to Rome had to pay grain toll. In addition to that, they had to pay taxes on produce, sales taxes, temple taxes, occupational taxes. Does it start sounding familiar? Custom taxes, transit taxes, and many others. We often read about how in the Bible other people hated tax collectors, but really Rome was built on taxes. And during that time, Herod was appointed to rule over Israel for Rome, and he too required a special tax because he also beautified the buildings in Israel. He made the temple look more Roman-like with pillars, etc. So the Jews were required to pay their tribute to Rome. They were required to pay special taxes to Herod. And on top of that, they remained a temple state. So they were still required to pay their tithes, their offerings, their sacrifices to God. And to the God-fearing Jews, they obviously wanted to honor God, but they were really crippled. They had to pay and pay and pay. And it never stopped. Some of you can start to identify with the Jews of that time. No wonder they longed for a Messiah, the Savior. And obviously, most of them expected him to come and save them. Most of us today, we pray to God to help us and save us in our situations that minister to us in this moment. They expected Jesus to deliver them from the taxes and the suffering and the ruin of the Romans. And then, obviously, this guy started preaching from nowhere, basically. They were used to preachers coming out of the desert. They just had John. But this guy, real miracles followed him. Dead people rose. People started seeing. Real miracles followed him. And then he gathered a real following. Not like today. I mean, you only have to make sourdough and post it on Instagram, and then you instantly have 10 followers. It wasn't like that. There was no internet. Jesus gathered a real following. People didn't just like him. And he had different people following him, like today. I mean, he had devout Jews really sincerely believing, is this the Messiah? He had the zealots, because the people wanted Israel to be free from the Romans. They were ready to take it by force. They expected Jesus to be the one. They had sincere poor people who followed him because they knew they could get some relief from him, that he could heal them. And obviously the religious leaders, they also had the Romans. I'm sure some Romans followed him because they knew he was up to something. He's going to disturb the peace somewhere. And then obviously the religious leaders who didn't like what he said. And we know that Jesus offended them. And that normal people like that. They like the fact that he took on the Pharisees and the Sadducees when they mistreated the people or expected things from them that wasn't scriptural. But Jesus also offended his own followers. And that's where I want to focus on today, the fact that we can identify. Many of us are tired of rates and taxes. I mean, how many years ago did we have a drought? Are we not still paying the drought tax? Has that changed? It hasn't changed. That doesn't seem fair. My brother's a farmer. He gets taxed on every drop of rain that falls on the farm. Around the braai, we can't even braai anymore. When we gather, we complain about these things that are so unfair. We can identify. But we're also tired of not being able to just live a normal life. I mean, I don't recognize half of you because you are covered. We are tired of, I don't know, losing jobs. How many people do you know? How many people have lost their jobs? So many of us have just suffered losses upon losses upon losses. And many of us, we stay focused on Christ. We follow him. We pray. We sincerely ask him to come through for us. We expect him to deliver us around every corner because isn't that what he has always done? Isn't that what he promises? And then another person we know dies. Christians die. People who are leaders in their churches die. They leave families and friends behind. And suddenly, we don't know how to trust God anymore. The last year, I have heard the most, I've never heard it before, from people who love the Lord, who used to love, that say, I don't know if I trust the Lord anymore. I asked him where we should go. He led us into this place, and now it's even worse. People that we have walked the road with say, I don't know if I'm believing anymore. And then I saw my own heart when I battled with the Lord about my circumstances, and I saw a little bit of an, not a little bit, I saw a fence there. Isley, thank you for being so brutally honest about where you were after Lily died. Just the offense in my heart, like, first of all, when it goes tough, I ask the Lord, okay, what did I do wrong? Lord, I must have done something wrong. This is not working out. And then I hear the Lord's voice. I can hear his voice. And then he tells me, I'm proud of you. I called you to do this. You did this. Yes, but it sucks. It's very hard. And then Jesus just says, are you offended? Do you want to leave me? And I just realized we need to hear this as a church. Many of us are struggling with difficult circumstances, and we are doubting the Lord, we are offended, and we wonder what we've done wrong. And the reason I want to talk about it today is because we often talk about end times, and we read those scriptures, and we're going to read them quickly, about the signs of the end times, but there's one thing that I haven't heard really preached, and that we, until recently, one of the biggest signs of the end times, they call it the great apostasy. Some of you don't know what that word means, because we don't hear it often. It talks about a falling away. It's a sign of the end times that Jesus' disciples will leave him. A lot of them will leave him. People who are sitting here today, like us, are going to turn around and say, I don't trust you anymore. I'm going to do my own thing. I can't rely on the Lord anymore. The Bible is very clear about how things will be for us. I'm not going to read all the scriptures, just three quick ones. John 16:33, Jesus says, in the world you will have tribulation. Take heart, I have overcome the world. 2 Timothy 3:12, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. 2 Timothy 2:1-5, understand this. Paul is writing to Timothy, and he says, understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. For people will be, you know the scripture well, lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Some of us think we are terrible parents. No, it's a sign of the time. Ungrateful. I'm a mom. I'm just like, you know, you do everything and then, do we have to eat this? Unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control. He's talking about the church as well, not just unsaved people. Brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen by conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. So having the appearance of godliness, people who look like they're following God. And then Paul says, avoid such people. And then he continues, and then he says, be careful not to be deceived, because many will be deceived. And Jesus echoes this. Jesus doesn't echo. Jesus said this first, and Paul echoes him. Jesus said first in Matthew 24, he talks about the end times. This is a long scripture. I think I'm going to... let's go from verse 9, because the first thing he says, see that no one will lead you astray, well, many will come in my name. That's verse 5. But don't listen to them. Many will fall away, he say. And then he says, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, and nation will rise up again. Nation, you know those scriptures. He says it's the beginning of birth pains. Then verse 9, they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Now, the gospel has been preached pretty much to all nations. We know the rumors of wars. And I know you think, we think, but we are not in prison yet. A big part of the church globally are being persecuted, are being killed, and are in prison. And it's been going on for very many years. The reason why I want to talk about this heavy topic today, this time of trouble, is because we need to be forewarned. Forewarned means forearmed. A time of trouble becomes a time of great temptation, and that is what I've seen in my own life. The tougher it becomes, the harder it becomes, the more I lean into the Lord, the more I pray, but it becomes harder and harder, and then there's temptation. There's temptation to not trust the Lord anymore. There's temptation to doubt Him. There's temptation to believe the lies of the enemy. So, yes, we know times are tough, and I don't need to remind you, but I need to, because we must know that it's been prophesied by Christ Himself that many will fall away, and we will betray one another, and we will hate one another. You all are sick and tired of Christians fighting on Instagram about vaccinations. I promise myself I'm not going to say anything about that, but Christians are attacking each other all over. I've seen in the last 2 years friends closing their doors to one another. That has never happened before. The love of many are growing cold. That is scary for me. These are my brothers and sisters. I don't want to close my door to you because there's some things, issues in life that we don't agree upon. Jesus prayed for us in the end. He prayed that the church will be one, as He and one. He is one. Now we look at the world and we look at the church and we think that's impossible because we don't all agree. On many things we don't agree. But we have lived in a community house for the last 4 years. Last year we were 17 people living together. Three families, single people, people from different races and cultures, we live together. I promise you, we are very different. If you are married, you know that your husband is very different from you. Now you live with other people. Politically, we are very different. Left, middle, right. We are all Christians. Just how we experience life, our past, are different. So how can we live in a house without having fights all the time? I can testify. There was very, very rarely disagreements. And when there was disagreements, we sat down and we talked through it. And we always reached a point where we could either agree to disagree, but we always carried on in love. We could keep on. The people that was the most difficult for me to live with, I loved the most today. Because we kept on serving each other. Because Christ covers that. And that is what He meant when He was praying for unity. We don't have to agree on everything in life to be one in Christ. And to show the world that we love one another. Your husband doesn't have to think like you for you to love him and to serve him. And the other way around, obviously. Your wife doesn't have to be like you for you to love her and to serve her. Okay. I lost my place here. So I was confronted the last while when I was complaining to the Lord about, did I not hear you? Why am I suffering so much? Why is it so difficult? And now you're leading us into a new season, and I thought, oh, it's over. No, it's another difficult season. And then the Lord told me, are you offended? Do you also want to leave me? And then I realized that many of us struggle with that. And pain and suffering, like I said, brings temptation. The parable of the sower explains it nicely. In Matthew 13, verse 20, Jesus says, He talks about those who receive the word in stony places. This is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. We've received the word, but we have no root in ourselves. Then it endures only a little while. For when tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, immediately he stumbles. So it's not suffering or tribulation that will cause the falling away. We all suffer. Not all of us fall away. Okay? The people in concentration camps, Corrie ten Boom, didn't lose her faith. She went through, but she stuck to Christ. The key is the root. Jesus says they had no root in them. Who's the root? Christ is the root. John 15 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you are in me, you will overcome. If you are in me, suffering, we can go through suffering as long as we stay in the root. So I just want to share a story, a personal story, that sometimes we feel like we're going in circles, and I really believe that God wants to grow us and mature us. So 4 years ago, it was about 4 years ago, we went through financially a very trying time, and my husband worked very hard. It was a very, very, very hard year, almost like this one. But towards the end of that year, I've been married for 16 years. Towards the end of that year was the first time in my life that I seriously considered divorce. It wasn't that my husband was bad or anything. It was just really tough. It was tough being married. It was tough not having provision. It was very tough. And I considered all the options. I thought it through. And divorce was on the table for me. Sorry, love, I don't know if you know this. I'm confessing today. And I really battled with the Lord. I really struggled with him. I cried many nights. And I looked at the options. And if I wasn't so poor, I could have gone. But I couldn't afford a bus ticket anywhere. So, and I was there. I knew that this is not what God had for me. Being in such difficult circumstances and then considering my options like that. And I knew it wasn't a godly option. It wasn't what God was calling me to do. By God's grace, here we are in 2021. And we are in an incredibly difficult financial year. Things happened almost the same as in that year. My husband lost his job. Lots of things. But I remember somewhere in the beginning of this year, I looked him in the eye and I said, this is going to be a tough ride. There's no reason that me and you need to grow apart. And I can testify that I have never been more in love with my husband than this year. We have grown so close. It has been a tough year. But because we remained in the root and remained on God's path, he gave us victory to overcome. So I had to go through the suffering again. But this time there was a victory. This time there was overcoming. And God is calling all of us to that. So maybe you are feeling like you are stuck in a cycle. Ask the Lord to show you what is that thing, the thing that he wants to give you. In this suffering, God gave me a glorious marriage. I wouldn't trade this year because of what I gained. And God has got something. He is not someone that just takes. He always gives. And if we come to him with our pain and our suffering and our challenges, there's a reward in his hands. But I tried to solve it first round myself. And it was very painful. This round, I gave it to the Lord. Yes, the suffering is still there, but I gained. And I want to encourage you to seek the Lord in your suffering and to go back to the root. Okay. Hard times are upon us. And if we've not prepared ourselves for it, we will find ourselves offended with Christ. But it is never too late to change. You do not have to be amongst those that fall away. Okay. Many of us have been living like we are on a cruise ship. We know we're on a warship, but we've been living like we're on a cruise ship. You know, entertainment, and it's fun. And now suddenly, it starts feeling like you're on a cruise ship, but this is lacking, because you know it should feel like this, but you don't want to submit to it. Okay. We must prepare ourselves, the church and our children, to be able to stand in the time of trials. Like I said, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. These two scriptures, Proverbs 22:3 says, "The prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go and they suffer for it." Noah did the same, Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed the ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. So both these scriptures talks about there's a warning. And if you prepare yourself and the hard times come, you will be safe. Okay. Obviously, it was tough for Noah with all those animals in the ark for that long time. And he was locked up with his wife and children. I think I'll take the animals sometimes. Then being locked up with me and my children. It was still hard. But he became an heir. Okay, of the righteousness. Some of you have seen it go around on social media. Corrie ten Boom, you know who Corrie ten Boom was? She's a Dutch lady who they were imprisoned for helping Jews during the Second World War. And she and her sister went through concentration camps. Her sister died. Betsy died at the concentration camp. Do yourself a favor. I know some of you only read the Bible, and I recommend that. But if you decide to read something else, you can read In the Hiding Place, Corrie ten Boom. Okay. She wrote a letter to the Western churches to encourage them to get ready for the hard times to come. At the time, a lot of the church was already suffering, and even more of the church is suffering today. So many of us have heard of what's happening in Afghanistan to Christians. Many of us have missionary friends all over the world, even in Africa. We know that Christians are being martyred or killed. It's not on mainstream media, but we know that it's happening. She used an example of the fact that the Chinese church was not prepared when communism rose in 1949. They were said, it's okay, Christ is going to take you away. He will not let you suffer. And because they were not prepared, many of them, they were obviously killed and slaughtered, but many, many fell away. People turned away from Christ during that great suffering. And that is why I want to warn us today. That we can, and if you're in a good place, pray for those around you that are not. Because Jesus doesn't want the sheep to fall away. But when suffering comes, it's a temptation for us to let go of our anchor. Okay. So when Corrie ten Boom said after that, she realized that the persecution is not going to get, it's not going to get less, it's going to get more. And she was already through the concentration camp, so she wasn't looking forward to more suffering. But she said it changed her mindset. Every time she read a scripture that was a good scripture, she would put it to memory because she would think, when the persecution comes, then I have the scripture inside. I can use it. Imagine if we find ourselves, I know this doesn't sound like it can happen, but imagine if we find ourselves in jails, in front of judges, in front of councils, in front of school boards, in front of, I don't know, people who challenge you, and you are filled with scripture inside of you. This is like, you can take this with you everywhere, but do you remember at university, those who went to university, they tell you, they say, book toots. It's open text exam. Doesn't help a lot, because the book was this thick, and if you don't know what's going on, it doesn't help you. You don't have time to go through and go look it up. So it helps if it's here. And I know some of my friends are preparing themselves. They are learning scripture by heart. I would really encourage you to stay in the Word and to know scripture. We're going to need it in the time to come. Our children is going to need it. And we go, oh, but how will I know what to use? And how will I know to stand if it's my turn? And how will I know what to say if I'm with the governing body of the school? Jesus says, don't worry about what you will say. My Spirit will lead you in that moment. You just be faithful in putting the Word inside of you. The Holy Spirit will remind you of what you've already learned and what Jesus has already said. That's what he promises in his word. Okay, it's almost there. So suffering alone will not make us fall away. If we are rooted in Christ and in his word and living in the Spirit, we won't fall away. We will overcome, because that is what we are called to do. Jesus says, it's going to be tough, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And if you are in me, you are going to overcome the world. So I want to, here's the good news. We are called to overcome. And Jesus promises, I know prosperity teaching, it is there. He promises, I'm going to tell you where it is. He promises prosperity for those who overcome the world. He says in Revelations, you can read the first couple of chapters, we're going to eat from the tree of life. We will not be hurt by the second death. He's going to give us hidden manna. I don't know what it is, but if he's going to give me something to eat, I'm sure it's going to be good for me. He says, if we carry on his works till the end, if we endure, not if we have a lack of time and have a Kit Kat until the end. No, if we endure. Endure means going through something difficult. Till the end, there's going to be prosperity for us. Yes. it's probably not going to be here. This is going to get harder. And I don't want to preach it to you because I don't want it to get harder. But I talked to my sister yesterday. They're the pastor's couple in Worcester. She said, I'm also preaching tomorrow. I said, wow, what are you preaching about? And then we shared our words. It's exactly the same thing. Then we cried and we said, we don't want to preach this because God prepares the church for stuff that's coming and we don't want this to come. But let's be of good cheer because he has called us to overcome. Okay. So here is the title slide, almost done. It's Ephesians 3, verse 10 to 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord. In what? In the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore. Can you hear all the stands? And then it tells us to take up the armor of God. You can go read it again, Ephesians 3, verse 10 to 18. So God is calling us to overcome and to stand in these difficult times. Just practical. We always need to make it practical, nay. We don't fight people. We love them. Practice that. Stay in the Word. That's actually all I want. If you go home today and you just spend more time in the Word this week, it will be amazing. Father God, I pray now that every time anybody sees a Facebook sign or an Instagram sign, they will be reminded of the Bible and read that instead. Okay, don't be obedient. Okay. Walk with Christ. So read the Word and then do it. And then something else that I want to encourage you, and I know most of us don't do it, but I really want to encourage you to do it because it will help you in this. Instead of watching whatever series you're watching on, I don't know what you watch, Netflix or wherever people watch stuff, there's a lot of, because I want to encourage you to read, but if you don't want to read, there's a lot of material online, missionary stories. Prepare yourself for the difficult times ahead. Go read the stories and go watch the stories of people who went before you, went through very tough times. It's greatly encouraging. It gives us so much hope. If you read the stories of Hudson Taylor and there's so many, I wrote them down here. Amy Carmichael, Gladys Aylward, Hudson Taylor, George Miller, Harriet Tubman. There's millions of believers who went before us, who went through hard times, but they endured. And these stories have been written down for us. And you know what, you with children? These series and books for children about these missionaries. My children's favorite story is the story of George Miller. I don't know if you know who he is. He's a guy that opened orphanages in Bristol in England. So many children's lives were changed. So many people went into ministry because of his ministry. But he was a scoundrel. When we read the story, my kids are like, Mom, isn't this a story about Jesus? I'm like, yes. And they're like, when is he going to stop being so ugly? Because he was a scoundrel. And the Lord saved him. And he became this amazing person. And he lived on his knees. And he showed people, how do you trust the Lord in difficult times? So I want to encourage you. They call it Torchlighter series. It's like a whole series about missionaries. You can find it on YouTube. Your children can watch that instead of, I don't know what they're watching. Yes, you will not find these books in exclusive books and you will not find them in bargain books. But you will find them in other bookstores. Do some research. There's material out there that we can find to encourage ourselves and to prepare our children. They don't have to just be entertained. They can be entertained and be prepared for the time to come. So that's just a for free note on the side. See, I used to say that. If we're going to watch something, let's do something that's encouraging and that prepare us and change our hearts. And there's lots of things like out there, but we need to go and look for it. We need to take the narrow road, the difficult path. Okay, and then just to pray for the persecuted church. That really changes our mindset if we regularly pray for the persecuted church. And you don't have to subscribe to every newsletter, and because sometimes we get stuck and just scrolling and seeing all the horrible things happening. Instead of doing that, just every day with your children, pray for the persecuted church. And then share the testimonies with them. I remember this friend that Melissa talked about. Her sister's a mission. Paula's sister is a missionary in Mozambique. Then they would send us notice, just a WhatsApp, that three of their leaders are in jail. They've been wrongfully imprisoned. You know, there's always reasons why people don't think you're going to go to jail or appear before courts because of some legitimate reason. It will be silly. It will be nonsensical. They will find a way to put Christians away. Don't fall away. But then we would pray for them. We'd pray for these people in jail, and the kids would pray with, and then 2 days later, we will receive the WhatsApp that the miracle has happened and they've been released. And that builds our children's faith. That builds our faith. Because for me, I'm like, okay, Lord, you can take me, but we have children, and we want them to be able to stand in the time that is coming. Because if it's tough for us, it's going to be harder for them. And we need to raise them to stand. So that we too can say, as Paul said, 2 Timothy 4 verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. And in the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all those who he has loved. He's appearing. Father God, this is a hard word, Lord God, to be reminded of. But Lord, we know that it is the season. Many of us sit here, Lord, this morning. Some of us are offended with you. Some of us are tired of saying, Lord, when is this going to end? We pray for ourselves, Lord, and we pray for our friends, and we pray for people, Lord God, that are following you, Father, but it's tough. It's hard for them. Some of us, Lord, know that we need to speak up, but we're afraid. Some of us know that you have called us, Lord, to say something or to do something, but we fear, Lord God, the backlash. We fear the cancel culture. We fear just people have become mean and it's a hard time, Lord. And Lord, when we read the Bible, you encourage us, Lord God, but we see there's good news at the end, and we know that we're not right there yet. So I pray for us this morning, Father, that you will rise up inside of us. Father, our heart's desire is not to fall away. Our heart's desire is to, when you say, are you offended? To say, yes, Lord, but I don't want to be offended. If you say, do you also want to leave? We want to fall on our knees, Lord, and say, no. We do not want to leave. We want to say, like Peter said, where shall we go? We know that you have the words of eternal life. I pray this morning, Lord, that as we go into this week, that we will look for the words of eternal life, that we will turn back to the root of Jesse, to Christ. You have grafted us in. Those of us, Lord God, that is starting to become loose, you are the faithful shepherd. Like Marilissa said, Lord, you will come and get us. I pray, Lord, that we will be able to just to cry out to you. And as we are finished with the service, if there's, sometimes I really think it's better to just do it right away. If the Holy Spirit has spoken to you this morning and you know that you're offended with the Lord, you know that you are at their wit's end, but you just want to say to yourself, say to the enemy, and say to the Lord, I am not going to fall away. I am not going to turn away from the Lord. I'm going to deal with my offense. I'm going to give it to the Lord, but I will keep following him. I want you to take the time. Wherever you are, I want you to really go on your knees and stretch your hands out and say to the Lord, Lord, I'm not going to fall away. And Holy Spirit, I pray that right now, Lord, that you will really come and you will touch us as we just confess and say, Lord, we are not going to fall away. Forgive us, Lord, if we were offended with you. Forgive us, Lord, for not trusting you. Forgive us, Lord, for just allowing confusion in our minds. Father, we know that the world is a tough place. You said so. We shouldn't be surprised. Come and clothe us again with your strength. Help us to put on your armor, Lord. Keep us close to your side so that, Lord, when we appear before courts, in jail, wherever you're leading us into, Lord, so that we will be full of the word and full of the Spirit, so that your name may be glorified and so that we may feast with you, Lord God, one day. And yes, Lord, we desire you to come soon.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.